Good morning, everyone. Good to see all of you here this morning. How many of you had an alarm clock go off about 2:30 this morning? Anyway, that was kind of fun. It's becoming a routine, it seems like, on Saturdays, but we had that. Now, I know there's a lot of damage around the community and several of our folks that are dealing with damage this morning, so we certainly want to keep them lifted up. But we're glad that you came today to worship with us this morning. If you're a guest with us today, we're especially glad that you're here, and we'd love to get to know you a little bit more. And the way that we do that is through a communication card that's in the seat back in front of you. You can fill that card out, drop it in one of the wooden boxes on your way out this morning, or scan the QR code, and that'll take you into our website, and you can see everything that's going on with Living Water, and there's a place in there where you can let us get to know you even more. All right? So, quick announcement. Tonight is supposed to be our church picnic, but we have pictures of the park that is underwater that we were going to, so we and there's radar of more storms coming today and lots more rain. So we decided that it would be best to go ahead and make that call and postpone that picnic. So stay tuned through our website, through all of our different avenues of communication, and we'll keep you updated of when we're going to reschedule that picnic so we can all get together and have fun and a good meal. I do believe that out in the foyer are some hamburger and hot dog buns that are very fresh. They were ready for tonight. So if you need something like that and you can use it, feel free to take it, because when we do the picnic, we only want the best. We want the fresh. So we'll rebuy those. But so if you can use them, or you know somebody that can, help yourself to those on your way out this morning. All right, so grab your Bibles. We're going to turn to three different places. The first place that I want you to go to is Proverbs chapter 18, and we'll look at verse 24 in Proverbs 18 in just a moment. And then we're going to jump over to Luke chapter 5, and then we're going to end up in Job chapter 2. And then, no, that's it, just those three places, if you will turn to those. Today, I want to remind you that we started last week a new series of messages that we will look at just over the next couple of weeks, talking about rest for the weary. Rest for the weary. And I know at times in our lives or seasons that we need rest. There's times that we get more weary than other times. There's times that we feel like we're drained and we feel like that we're running on empty. And it comes into our life at different times. And then sometimes it'll hang around for a while. Sometimes it comes and goes, but we all find ourselves in different seasons where we need rest. And I'm not just talking about physical rest, I'm talking about spiritual rest or soul rest. Last Sunday, we looked at one of the most powerful invitations that Jesus gives. And Jesus says, "Come to me, those of you who are weary, those of you who are tired, come to me, and I will give you rest." He goes on to say that, "Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy. Let me do life with you. Let me walk with you in life, and you will find that things are so much easier." He says, "Let me take the heavy load." Here's a reality. A lot of people are just tired. And again, I'm not talking about physical tired. I'm talking about that spiritual tired, that where we need that soul rest. And Christ does not want us to live our lives spiritually tired, so he gives us that rescue plan. But if you're anything like me, you understand that we can come to Jesus, and that's where we will find true rest. We understand that when we come to him, when we take his yoke upon us, that that's when we find this rest that he is talking about. But if you're anything like me, you can go through the week and you can say, "I know that that's true. I believe that that's true. But how do I do that? How can I get there? How can I find that rest?" And so we're going to take some time. We're going to look at that. And today I want to talk with you about the importance of having good friends in your life. The importance of having good friends, because one of the ways that Christ gives us to help us get to him to find that rest is through the friends that we have in our life. And that's where we're going to pick up today, the importance of good friends. And I want you to consider this thought this morning as we begin this message today, that you weren't meant to carry life's burdens alone. Now, we looked at that last week when we were talking about coming to Christ. We know that when we come to Christ, He helps us. He carries those burdens. But even beyond that, we weren't meant to go through life alone and to do life by ourselves. That we are meant to do life in community with one another, to encourage one another, to spur one another on, to invest in each other, to build into each other's lives. Sometimes we often overlook the reality that one of the ways that Jesus gives us rest is through the people that He has placed in our lives. Good people that He has placed in our lives where we find rest. God often brings rest to the weary through real friends. The kind of people who will lift you up when you can't lift yourself up. The kind of people who will help you carry the load when you don't have the strength to carry anything else. The kind of people that will help you walk side by side with you when you don't think you could take another step. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I have some of those kind of friends in my life. That I've had some of those kind of friends over the years that God has placed in my life. How about anybody else? You got those kind of friends? You know what I'm talking about. The kind of people who are there no matter what. You know that you can count on them. You know that you can trust them. But let's be honest. Not all people in your life make things better. Matter of fact, some people have the spiritual gift of sucking joy right out of the life of others. You know who I'm talking about? How many of you know people like that? Don't look at them this morning if they're here. But we all know people like that, right? People that, man, things can be going great. You're up this morning. You've got your cup of coffee in your hand. The sun is shining. It's just a great day. You're humming that favorite tune in your head. And for some of you, you have to hum it because if you sing it out loud, it makes other people mad. You kind of suck their joy away. So you're humming that favorite tune. And here comes that person. They walk into the room and you're just like, oh, no. And they begin to have a conversation with you. And in just a few minutes, now your shoulders are tense. You're thinking, what in the world is going on? I felt so good just a few minutes ago. Now I feel like the world around me is falling apart again. All things have gone away because they have sucked all the joy, all the life. They just suck it right out of the room. And so you try to make it better with them, and you begin to tell them all the good things. You're going, oh, it's a great day. And they're like, yeah, but storms are coming. You talked about, well, let me tell you what good thing happened in my life. Well, don't count on that ever happening again. You know, they just have a way of sucking all the joy. They always find the negative in everything. Those kind of people. By the way, if you're that kind of person today, it's time to change, okay? Change for the sake of everybody around you. Don't be that kind of person, that person that when you walk into the room, everybody's like, oh, no. But we know those kind of people, and it's just a reality that some people are that way. We all have people like that in our life that wear us down instead of lifting us up. And the truth is, when you're already feeling weary, those kinds of people certainly do not help. They make it harder. So look at these words in Proverbs 18, verse 24. Look at what the writer of Proverbs says. He says, there are friends who destroy each other, but real friends stick closer than a brother. So he could say it this way, that there are some friends that they're going to come into your life, they're going to suck the joy right out of your life, they're going to actually end up destroying your life. And by the way, those are not true friends. But then there are other friends who are going to stick closer than a brother. Those are the kind of friends that you want in your life. Those are the friends that, again, are going to be there through thick and thin. They're going to be there no matter what you're facing. You could be at the bottom of your life, and they're the friends that you can count on. Some people in your life might call themselves friends, but they're not helping you. They're tearing you down. They might mean well, but their presence doesn't restore you. It wears you out. They offer noise, but not peace. They offer advice, but not compassion. They offer judgment, but not grace. But Scripture again says a real friend, the kind of friend that God wants us to have in our lives, is someone who will stick with you, who will see you through. So let me ask you this question today. Do you have those kind of people in your life? Do you have the kind of people that lift you up, that build you up, that encourage you in your relationship with Christ, who encourage you in your walk, who are there when you can't pick yourself up, that you know that they're there? Turn over to Luke chapter 5, and we're going to look at a very familiar story today that talks about those kinds of friends. Now, this story we've looked at several times, and we've looked at it in different ways, but I want us to focus on this story today on the kind of friends that we see in this passage. In Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, if you're there, say I'm there. If you're not there, then hurry up. We're waiting on you. All right, here we go. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, says, one day, while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem, and the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. And some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. Hold on right there for just a second. I want you to get this picture of what's going on. Jesus' ministry is beginning. He's been doing incredible things. People have been being healed. And it says that the healing power was upon Jesus. And so he is teaching in this house. We don't know much about this house. We don't know anything about this house. But we know that he was inside this house, and it seemed like men from all over the place had come to hear Jesus teach. Now, some of them were the Pharisees, the religious leaders, those that were looking and just waiting on Jesus to make a mistake. They were keeping their eye on him. But you know that there were other people around because they've heard about who Jesus is. Maybe they've witnessed what he's been doing, and they just want to be around the presence of Jesus. And it says that there was this man who was paralyzed. He couldn't get to Jesus on his own. And so these other men came in, these friends came in to bring him to Jesus. They come up to the house, but there's so many people around that they can't get in. So we know that the house is full, but it's probably a lot of people outside the house that just want to be able to hear, just want to be able to get a glimpse of Jesus and to see what he's up to and to see what he's doing. But they cannot get him up to Jesus because the house is so full. But notice what happens. Halfway through verse 19, it says, so they went up to the roof and they took off some tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. But the Pharisees and teachers of religious law said to themselves, who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew what they were thinking. So he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, he picked up his mat, and he went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, have we seen amazing things today? What a wonderful story. So here's this man, he can't get to Jesus. And his friends come, they each pick up a corner of the mat, they take him, they can't get him into the house. And so there is a dilemma. What do they do? They can turn and say, well, sorry, we tried, but we couldn't get you to Jesus today. Maybe we'll try again tomorrow. Maybe we'll try at another time. That's not what these friends do. They come up with a plan, and they say, listen, we can't get through the door. We can't get through the windows, but I bet we can get through the roof. I wonder which friend that was. I like that friend. Let's just start tearing this guy's house apart. We'll get you to Jesus. We'll do it whatever it takes. And that's the kind of friends that I want in my life. That when I can't get to Jesus on my own, that they know that there's power in Jesus. They know that there's rest in Jesus. They know that the thing that I need in my life is to be at the foot of Jesus, the feet of Jesus, that they're going to do everything they can to get me there. Even if it means tearing the roof off. Even if it means moving people, doing whatever it is. And I love the way this story goes and says, here's Jesus in the house. I love the imagery of this. Jesus is there, he's teaching, all these people are gathered around, you can see the Pharisees just glaring at him. And all of a sudden the tiles start coming off the roof and they're like, what's going on? And it says that they lowered him right to the feet of Jesus in the midst of that crowd. How did they know exactly where Jesus was in that house? I don't know. Maybe they had to tear every tile off the roof before they knew exactly where Jesus was. I don't know, but they were not going to stop till they could get this man at the feet of Jesus. And it says, Jesus looked at this man's friends. And then he looks at this man and he says, because of their faith, because of their faith, your sins are forgiven. I want friends with that kind of faith. Friends that will take care of me in that kind of way. When I'm at bottom in my life, when I feel like I cannot get up, when I feel paralyzed, I'm on a mat, I can't get to Jesus on my own. I know he's close by. I know he's there. I know what Scripture says. I know that Jesus gave me the invitation to come to him when I'm tired and I'm weary. But when I can't pick myself up to get to Jesus because I'm at that kind of place in my life, I want those kind of friends that will come along beside me. They will grab my mat and they will say, I don't care what it takes, but I'm going to get you to the feet of Jesus, because that's where hope is. That's where true life is. That's where peace comes from. That's where healing begins, is at the feet of Jesus. So the first thing I want you to see this morning, if you're taking notes, is that real friends will carry you to Jesus when you can't get to him alone. Real friends will make sure that you get to Jesus when you cannot get there alone. Now listen, I know that you know this, but if you don't, it's a good reminder that sometimes life is going to hit you hard. And usually when life hits you hard, it comes out of nowhere. It's kind of like the storm last night just came out of nowhere. That's the physical storm, but the spiritual storms are just the same in our life. Man, sometimes we're just going along, everything seems good, and then all of a sudden, that spiritual storm hits. And we find ourselves at the bottom. We find ourselves paralyzed where we can't go on. There are days when we don't have the energy to even pray the kind of prayers that we know that we need to pray. There are times that we just cannot get up and do the things that we need to do. There are moments when I'm just too tired, when I'm too discouraged, when I'm too emotionally drained, when I'm just wore out, and I can't fight myself to Jesus alone. I understand his promises. I understand his truth. I understand that that's where I need to be. But for some reason, I just can't get there on my own. And that's where God has placed friends in our life, people in our life that know where we need to be, and they will help us to get there. I'm grateful for friends like that. Do you have friends like that in your life that you can trust, that you can count on? We need a circle of people around us who say, hey, it's okay. We've got you. Hey, it's okay. We will help carry you to him. Real friends don't walk away when you're broken. That's when real friends will lean in. Real friends will lift you up and they will get you to the feet of Jesus. I know that many of you can testify to that today. The reason that you're here today is because of friends just like that. A friend who prayed for you when you had no words left. Someone who came along beside you, who mentored you, who refused to let you give up. Maybe it was a small group in church where y'all did more than just do Bible studies together, but you had fellowship together. You invested in one another's lives. You helped each other out. A church family who says, you don't have to pretend. We understand the pain that you're going through. Someone who said that God's not finished with you yet. I'm so grateful over the years that God has placed people in my life like that. I've experienced that very thing in my life, a time when I was at the bottom myself. I didn't know what to pray, didn't know how to pray. I know what the Bible says, I know what the truth is, but I'm at a low season of my life, and I just can't do it on my own. But I had friends around me, friends that said those very things, friends that said, we're here with you. We will walk through this with you. You're not going to walk through this alone. Friends that said, God's not done with you yet. And can I let you know today that if it wasn't for friends like that in my life, I would not be in the place that God has me today. It takes friends like that sometimes to see us through, to help us when we can't help ourselves. That's the kind of friends. That's the kind of community. That's where healing starts. That's where true soul rest can come. They believed on behalf of their friend. They believed and they acted on behalf of their friend. They carried him when he couldn't carry himself. So do you have people like that? People who carry you when you're stuck. People who don't walk away when it gets inconvenient. People who don't just talk about Jesus, but they will take you right to Jesus' feet. We all need those kind of friends in our lives. And maybe even more importantly than that today, maybe you need to be that kind of friend to someone else. Because the reality is we all know people that are struggling. We all know people that are having difficulties in their life. We all know people that spiritually need to get to the feet of Jesus. But are we that kind of friend that we will get inconvenient in our own lives to go and pick up their mat and help them to get to the feet of Jesus, the place where they need to be? The question is, how do we do that? How do we build those kind of relationships? After the first service, a young man came up to me and he said, where do I begin in building those kind of relationships? Can I let you know that you're at a good place to start building those kind of relationships? The church family, the family of God coming together. That's why it's important that we come together, that we worship together. But it goes further than that because you see, you can come in every Sunday. You can sit in the same spot every Sunday. You can talk to a few people around you right where you're at every Sunday and you can still be invisible in the church. That's why connect groups are so important. Making connections with other people. Getting involved outside of just being in here where we worship together. Getting involved where we can really get to know other people and we can let other people get to know us. Where we can know when someone is struggling and we can build into their life because we're already developing that kind of relationship with them. Where we can invest in one another. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but during the early service, some of you were over there, we got connect groups that meet on Sunday morning. We got connect groups that meet on Tuesday nights. We got connect groups that meet on early Friday morning. I keep getting told about this. I showed up once, but that's too early for me. We got a connect group that meets tonight. We got different opportunities for people to come together, and we're looking for more opportunities. We need more connect groups, but we need more leaders to help with those connect groups. We need more connect groups. We need that opportunity. Because you see, it's when we start connecting with people like that, that's when we stop coming to church and we start being the church. Because it's so important that we're investing in other people's lives. We need people in our lives that'll come to us and ask us how we're doing and they're really interested in knowing. Where you can look at them and you can say, oh, I'm doing good. And they look you in the eye and say, no, you're not. No, you're not. What can I help you with today? You don't have to walk this alone. You don't have to carry this burden alone. Let me walk with you. It's so important that we have these kind of people in our lives. The second thing that I want you to see this morning is that not all friends are helpful. Not all friends are helpful when you're weary. Turn over to the book of Job in chapter 2. The book of Job, chapter 2. As you're turning there, I'll fill you in a little bit about Job and the things that were going on in his life. If you know the story of Job, everything's going great with Job, and then all of a sudden Job's world falls apart. He loses his kids, he loses his family, he loses all of his animals, he loses everything that he has worked hard for. Everything is gone. And Job has some friends that hear of what is going on in Job's life. And so these three friends get together and they decide that they are going to go to Job. Now that's a good thing. It starts out real good, and I want you to see that in Job chapter 2, starting at verse 11. It says, when three of Job's friends heard of the tragedy he had suffered, they got together, they traveled from their homes to comfort and to console him. Their names were Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. So they hear of what's going on. So they say, let's get together. Let's go to our friend Job. He needs us to be with him. And so they go to Job. That's a good thing. And then look what happens. When they get there, they saw Job from a distance. They scarcely recognized him. Wailing loudly, they tore their robes and threw dust into the air over their heads to show their grief. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and nights. No one said a word to Job, for they saw that his suffering was too great for words. I'm telling you, at first glance, these look like the kind of friends that you need. And I love this because they show up. They see the pain, the agony that Job is in, and they show their grief, kind of in a weird way, but they show their grief. And what I love is they come, they don't have any words to say, and they just sit down with Job. It was just their presence. They're giving Job, at this time in his life, the ministry of presence. And I hear people a lot of times say, I would go and visit with them, I would go and help them, but I don't know what to say. Can I just let you know, sometimes it's best not to say anything. Sometimes it is okay just for your presence to be there. They know that you're there. They know that if there's something that they need, that you'll be there for them. They know that if they just need a drink of water, you'll be up to get it for them. They know that if you need some food, you'll make sure that they're taken care of. Just your presence. Many times, you don't need to say anything. And that's where these friends start out. And all was good for 7 days. But then the problem comes. They decide that they need to start talking. And when they start talking, they start creating problems. If you continue to read through the book of Job, you'll see in Job chapter 4 that Eliphaz basically tells Job, you must have done something wrong. The reason that you're suffering is because you must have done something wrong. What is it? What have you done, Job? What have you done wrong? Because obviously you've done something wrong, because people don't suffer like this if they're doing everything right. And then it goes on in Job chapter 8. Bildad chimes in and he said, God doesn't punish innocent people. So you've got the first friend saying, you must have done something wrong. Now the second friend that's adding on to it, and he says, hey, God doesn't punish innocent people. If you were innocent, you wouldn't be going through this. So what is it that you have done, Job? What is it that you have done to make God mad? And then in Job chapter 11, Zophar decides he's got to give his opinion on the matter. And he just continues to build on it. And he says that you actually deserve worse than this. Thank you, guys. Thanks, friends. That's the kind of friends that we want around us when we're in a problem? Absolutely not. Now, I don't think these guys were trying to be cruel. I don't think they were trying to be mean. Their theology was rigid. Their compassion ran dry. Instead of offering comfort, they offered correction. Instead of grace, they gave guilt. I think they just didn't get it. They just didn't understand. They just didn't realize exactly what Job needed at that moment. So can I say this? When you're weary, when you're tired, be careful who you let speak into your life. The wrong voices can wear you out even more. These were the wrong voices at that time. Some will spiritualize your suffering. Some will minimize your pain. Some will give you the fix before they give you the presence. This is why we need the kind of community that was modeled in Luke chapter 4, where the guys just knew all they needed to do was to get this man to the feet of Jesus. That's all they needed to do. And if Job's friends would have realized that, if they would have understood that, then they would have actually been a help to him instead of being a hindrance to him in his life at that time. If you're running on empty today, don't isolate yourselves, but don't let just anyone have a microphone into your soul either. Look for people who show up and stay present. Look for those who pray before they preach. Listen more than they lecture. Those who carry you to Jesus, not away from Jesus. You know, sometimes we allow people into our life and we enjoy their presence, we enjoy their company. But when you listen to their conversations, they are not bringing us towards Jesus. They're helping us pull away from Jesus. Sometimes those conversations we like to engage in, maybe it's gossip about somebody else, and we like to hear about the problems of other people because sometimes that makes us feel better about ourselves. And we start engaging in that gossip. Can I let you know that if your good friends are people that like to gossip, then one day they'll gossip about you. It's just the way that it is. That's who they are. And those kind of people will drain us. Those kind of people will make us weary. Those kind of people will pull us down. The true friends that we have are those that stick with us, those that will build into our lives, those that will say things that will help build up and not things that tear down. Not tearing down others, not tearing down us. Helping us get to the feet of Jesus. Our friends are very important. Those that we really let get close into our lives are important. And we need the kind of friends like we saw in Luke chapter 5. The third thing I want you to see this morning, that true friends, real friends, those that will stick with you, they are a gift that we do not need to take for granted. Sometimes we take those kind of people for granted. We don't need to take them for granted. And we will realize that when we find ourselves in a problem. So that takes us right back to where we started, to Proverbs 18:24. Again, Scripture says there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. That friend that will stick closer than a brother, no matter the highs, the lows, no matter the good or the bad, that is the kind of friend that is a gift. And we should cherish that gift, a real friend that is closer than a brother. They are in it with you. They're there for the long haul. They don't care what kind of obstacles get in the way. They're going to help see you through. We need those kind of friends. But again, I want to ask, not only do you have those kind of friends, but are you being that kind of friend to someone else? See, sometimes that's where it starts. We want those kind of friends in our lives. Maybe it starts with us being that kind of friend to someone else. Being that kind of friend to help bring someone else along. You may be waiting for God to send the right people into your life, and He might be waiting on you to start being that kind of person to someone else. So start today. Start today. Don't just come to church, but join the community of the church. Be involved in community. Don't just look for encouragers, but be an encourager yourself. Don't just pray for help, but be the answer to someone else's prayer. Because when we carry each other to Jesus, that's where we all find healing. That's where we find rest for our souls. Listen to the invitation of Jesus, where He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary, all of you who are tired, come to me." Listen to that invitation. Come to Jesus. But don't just stop there. Help others get to Jesus as well. Carry their mat. Help them get to the feet of Jesus. And listen, when people around you are struggling, when people around you are going through difficulties, be that kind of friend. Not a friend that looks down on them, not a friend that questions how they got into the situation that they got in, but be a friend that offers grace, offers the peace of God, offers the hope of God. Be that kind of friend that encourages. But let me challenge you of this too, because this is an area that I struggle in. And it's because we have a little thing that we call pride. I'm sure this is just me, probably not any of you. But how many of you, I think I asked this last week and many of you admitted to it, but how many of you have that problem where you're like, I know where I need to be and I'm going to get there myself. I don't want to burden anybody else. I can do this. I can do this. I can get there myself. Can I let you know something? It is a joy for us to be able to help other people when they're struggling, when they're having difficulties. Let's not steal the joy away from others when we need help as well. Did you know it's very okay to shoot somebody a text? You get in a relationship, you got a good friendship, you can trust this person. To just shoot them a text, maybe make a phone call and just say, I'm not okay today. Did you know as believers it is okay not to be okay, first of all? Let's start there. It is okay not to be okay because we're going to have seasons in our life where we're just not okay. And it's very good for us to have people in our life that we can reach out to and say, I'm struggling today. I'm having a hard time today. And when we have the right kind of friends, they're going to chime in and they're going to say, you're not in this alone. I'm here with you. What do you need? Sometimes it won't even be, what do you need? It's just, I'm praying for you right now. And you know that it's not just words coming out of their mouth, that when they say they are praying for you, they are praying for you. Or the kind of friend that just comes to you and says, I'm going to pray with you today. And you're like, I don't have any words to say. I'm that far at the bottom. And they say, that's okay. I got this. And they're going to help you get to Jesus. It's okay to have those kind of friends. And it's okay for us to put our pride aside and just be willing to say, you know what? I'm running on empty. I can't do it today. And to have people that we can trust that says, okay, let me walk this road with you. Let me help carry you. I know you can't carry yourself. I'm going to help carry you. And it's okay to be that kind of friend, to be that kind of person, and to let those kind of people into our life. So do you have that kind of community where you have friends that you trust, that you know when you can't get to Jesus on your own, that they're going to be there to carry your mat for you? And are you that kind of friend to someone else? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for the challenge in your word. God, I thank you that we were not meant to do life alone, and that you allow people into our life at different seasons, for different times, for different things. God, I pray that you would help us to recognize the need to have these kind of friends in our life, friends that will help us to get to the feet of Jesus. And God, I pray that you would show us the opportunities that we have around us each day to be that same kind of friend to someone else. God, we thank you for your wonderful love for us today. We thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And I pray today, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that today they would just open up their heart to you as they feel your Spirit drawing them close. God, I pray for those that maybe are struggling and they need to let some friends come into their life to help them through this season. God, I pray for each one of us that we would be aware of others around us where we can do the same for them. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for the many blessings that you give us. God, thank you for the rest that truly does come at the feet of Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.